Hello everybody, it's Wednesday and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz and joining me today is Clinton Matos.
Hello everybody.
And Nick Howard.
Hello.
And a tiny glass jar.
Yeah.
This was, just on the desk.
Why are we so...
I think they use it to keep toothpicks in.
I think they use it.
It's been empty. It looks like...
I think it's a tip jar.
What's it, a fairy jar or something?
You can't get any coins in that thing.
That's the point.
Well, right.
If you're a really bad waiter, that's your tip jar. Can hold about 15 10-cent pieces.
Make me laugh so much I cough. Right, so it's been an interesting week. The last week was the Battlefront 2 controversy.
Yes.
But this week is a continuation of the Battlefront 2 controversy.
It's the trash fire that won't go out.
Yes, like absolutely.
Every time that you think, oh, it's safe to go into the woods, no.
Nope.
Someone has poured gasoline on the fire.
Did John Oliver call that thing like stupid Watergate? Greedy Watergate.
Greedy Watergate. That's a good one. I think that's what we should call it. Well, so you've actually been playing the game though, Nick.
I have.
You have the unenviable task of reviewing... Star Wars Battlefront 2. How is it?
Not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That disappoints me. No, I know. I'm kidding.
Okay, before we get into multiplayer and that, have you done the single player?
Yes, I finished it.
Okay, tell us about that first before we get really negative.
Okay, I have completely forgotten the name of the lead character because she's not that interesting. Eden?
Something like that. She's a TIE fighter pilot.
Yeah, she's a TIE fighter pilot. And basically the game kicks off... with her and the rest of her group called Inferno Squad, who are essentially trying to mop up the rebels in the forest of Endor after the Emperor. By the way, if you haven't seen Return of the Jedi, tough. You should have seen it by now if you're listening to this. Okay, spoiler alert.
So old.
Spoiler alert. The shield generator has been blown up. We won't spoil how though. No. With explosives. And basically, they're trying to mop up the rebels, and then they look up in the sky and they see the Death Star blown to pieces. Another spoiler alert.
I think the Emperor dies, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, this is the thing. And then they just think, well, let's get the hell out of here. They regroup with the remnants of the Imperial forces, and they find that Emperor Palpatine had a contingency plan just in case his plan failed, which is totally in character for that character. And then some sort of convoluted, we're going to reboot the Empire. We have these stocks of weapons over here. We have this factory over there. We can regroup and fight the rebels again. So it turns out your dad... is
Star Wars has got big father issues.
Turns out your dad happens to be one of the commanders of the lead Star Destroyers, and he sends you off to some planet where you have to do, I can't remember what you have to do, but it involves killing civilians. Okay. And at that point your character goes, oh my goodness, I never believed this. Are we the baddies?
Our uniforms have skulls and crossbones.
You know, the Empire wasn't about killing civilians. Really, tell that to Alderaan. But anyway, you have this change of heart and you join up with the rebels and then you start fighting for the rebels. And yeah, the story goes from there.
So okay.
Now you're intercut. Most of the time you're playing this female TIE fighter pilot, but you get like one level where you're Luke Skywalker. You get one level where you're Lando Calrissian. You get one level where you're Han Solo, and there's even a level where you play Kylo Ren.
That's cool. Do you get to destroy some computer panels in a tantrum?
Hang on.
No, you don't. DICE would have had some... I don't want to say they would have had some balls, but it would have been like a real nice touch if they let you do that, like a quick time event where you get to beat up some panels. Well, the loading screen, that would have been so cool.
That would have been very awesome.
Anyway, long story short, it's basically the end of the war after the destruction of the Death Star.
Okay.
And then there's like a not so much a post-credit scene, but an epilogue level.
Okay.
Which and the campaign's not bad. not great.
Yeah.
Heard it's 5 hours?
5 or 6, depending. I mean, there are some levels where you just sit there going... okay, so there's things I liked about it. It looks gorgeous. I mean, the attention to detail is amazing.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. on the downside, there are bugs. Like, there's one scene where Lando Calrissian is running out of a factory that he's basically detonated the lava power at the bottom so that this lava level's rising as he's running through these grills.
Yeah.
And I ran around the corner and there were like 3 stormtroopers and one of them was stuck in a box. Like his legs were in the box. It was like someone had chopped his torso and stuck it on top of a box.
The stormtroopers are getting worse.
There's one level where you have to sort of stealth your way around a landing pad before you sort of like get into a position behind an AT-AT walker so you can blow it up easily. And so that involves stealth killing a couple of stormtroopers. And I was coming up behind the stormtrooper and it was literally hovering in the air. Like, you know.
It's that new technology, yeah. That new Star Wars tech.
So there are some bugs in it. The dialogue's not egregiously bad.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard, you know, to care, to really sort of get, you know, to get into the head of the character. Like, I saw one bad thing after being in the Empire for a long time.
And then I decided not to be.
Listen, from my point of view, the Rebellion is evil, okay? They're terrorists. And the Empire did nothing wrong. And
they're just looking for order. Yeah. They just want order in amongst their people.
Well, that having been said, I mean, there's a couple of nice nods to the different films. I mean, for example, I mean, do you remember Star Wars... what's it called? The Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Do you remember Rey is in Jakal? And there's that massive Star Destroyer that's lying in the desert.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You find out how it got there.
Oh, that's
I'm
cool.
Guessing it crashed.
Yeah, well, yes.
Did it crash?
Well, you find out which battle happened to make it crash.
No, because I mean, like, maybe there's like some weird teleporter tech or something.
And, so, like, when you play the heroes like Luke Skywalker and Lando Calrissian and stuff like that, you get special abilities. When you play your bog standard, what's the word I'm looking for? Your TIE fighter pilot, you get guns, different guns, different abilities, the whole nine yards. And let's see, what else? And there's like some dogfighting levels, which are quite cool.
Okay.
Are you always in a tie in that?
No, because you switch sides, you see.
Then do you get an A-wing?
No, you get an X-wing.
Of course it's an X-wing.
but then again, I mean, in the multiplayer, you can fly all those other things. The one problem I had with it is the fact that the ending of the campaign leaves quite a few threads up in the air.
Okay.
That doesn't make the campaign wholly unsatisfying.
Yeah.
But if you remember being a little kid and watching Empire Strikes Back for the first time, when it ended, you were like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's so much grist for the mill for a sequel there.
Yeah.
Which obviously they were planning. And Battlefront 2 has an ending, which you say to yourself, okay, so either that's the grist for the mill for the next sequel... Or there might be story DLC in the pipeline, which you're going to have to pay for if you want to see how the story works out.
Didn't they say DLC would be free for this game?
I do believe they said
there's no season pass or something. This is before the whole microtransaction thing. Right. So let's get into that now.
Okay, so well, let's go to the multiplayer. So the multiplayer has got 5 modes. It's got...
I do think we need to mention something before we dive into this. EA did hit pause on the microtransactions.
Yeah, they basically... You can't spend real-world money in-game.
At the moment, though.
At the moment. I mean, they said they might temporarily walk it back.
Yeah, so...
They've said 100% that they're bringing it back and will be directly tied into progression.
Okay.
They said that on the record. The cynic in me says, let's take it away to get... early sales,
yeah,
and then we'll bring it back later on because I think this game's really going to move units in December when there's a new Star Wars movie. So anyway, they're like, let's put some water on the PR fire right now, and then we'll make sales down the road. And we can add microtransactions.
So, get into the multiplayer then.
Okay, so there's 5 types of matches. There's a hero match where you basically play a hero.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, obviously, you have to play the ones you unlocked.
Oh.
Okay.
Who do you have at the beginning?
Well, I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but I had Rey and I had Boba Fett. and what's that other bounty hunter's name? The one that looks like a lizard from Empire Strikes
Back. Not Gek, something like
something like that. But and then you've got who else have I got unlocked? I'm not sure. I know I don't have Darth Vader, and I know I don't have Luke Skywalker. I think I've got Han Solo,
Bosk,
yeah, and Lando Calrissian.
Okay.
And
decent mix.
And in hero fights, you pay a hero, and you usually find, I usually find myself on a team as Boba Fett with like Kylo Ren, Darth Vader, and Emperor Palpatine next to me. So someone's cool. been grinding a lot. Yeah, so essentially you play this asymmetrical game. Like, for example, and every single, by the way, all through the campaign, all through the multiplayer, whatever character you're playing, whether it's just a grunt stormtrooper or a hero,
yeah.
you have three different abilities mapped to the shoulder buttons, and if you press both the shoulder buttons together, you get the
ability. Does like an ultimate ability.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not really an ultimate ability. Like, for example, with Boba Fett, that just sends out a radar pulse so you can see where everybody is.
Oh, okay.
He's also got a torpedo he can fire. And yeah, and if you pull the left trigger, instead of aiming down the side, it says jetpack ignites, and you can fly over people, which is pretty cool.
I remember that being very fun for people in the first game.
For 2 seconds when you pick it up, because you're very lucky.
Yeah.
And then you die.
Exactly.
So is it just heroes? There's no like no, AI stormtroopers or anything.
Well, no,
like
it's eight players, 4-on-4.
Okay.
Then you've got Galactic Assault, which is essentially it's a mode in which I think I can't remember if it's 24 or 40 players. I think it's 40 players can take part in that. That basically you get put into an environment that you have certain objectives to accomplish in order to win. Like for example, there's a match that takes place on the Death Star.
And okay.
As the rebels, what you've got to do is knock out the shield generators, then knock out the power to the turbo lasers, and then get into the escape pods and get out of there after taking control of the hangar. And your job as the stormtroopers is just basically to stop them.
Okay. So it's like one person has an objective, the other team's objective is to stop that team.
Yeah. And then you've got Starfighter Assault, which is awesome. And when I say it's awesome, I mean it's because I don't think there's any skill involved at this particular. Well, no, I mean, because you're flying your TIE fighter or X-Wing or A-Wing or whatever. I mean, it also goes back to the original trilogy, so you've got V-Wings and you've got drone fighters. You know, you got different sort of battles. Like, there's one at I can't remember the name of the planet where the Boba Fett clones were made. But you remember the one I mean? It's
the one that's always raining.
Yeah.
I have to look.
All right. Yeah, this is going to bother me. Anyway, there's one there. Essentially, like, once again, you have objectives. You get Starfighter Assault. If you're the rebels, you know, in the shipyard, you knock out supports. You cover Y-wings on bombing runs, stuff like that. And then eventually, you blow up a Star Destroyer. Your job as the TIE fighters is just to stop them.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. And the thing is that it is kind of like in the movies where you find yourself, you'll be flying in space and then you'll have to duck in and out of these structures. And you have to really kind of, not have lightning fast reflexes, but not hit a thruster when you're trying to navigate through a small crevice in a particular area. And when I say, like, I don't think there's much skill involved, is that, like, I got shot down as often as I shot people down, and I'm usually not very good at multiplayers to begin with. I mean, there were a couple of bloody kills I had when I accidentally turned around and flew into somebody else.
Oh, that's always good.
You know? And sometimes you can actually outmaneuver someone who's behind you by flying through an area you know they don't know that there's an overhang, and they crash right into it behind you, and you get credit for that. So, you know, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Can you hit a wall? If you hit a wall, do you just die?
You just die.
Even if you like clip your wing.
No. If you clip it, you know, you'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
And you do regenerate. But if you fly smack into the side of a Star Cruiser, you're dead.
Yeah, you're dead. Okay. That makes sense.
No, because I know in like some games, like you're a plane. If a plane touches anything, it
you're
explodes.
Dead. Yeah.
And each match you play, you rack up points based on what you have done. So, for example, and then you have an unlockable. So, for example, if you rack up, say, 2,000 points from kills in a dogfight, you can unlock Slave One, Boba Fett's ship, and you can fly around in Boba Fett's ship from then on. In the dogfight.
And hang on, does that mean that at some stage those are also going to be unlocked?
No. Or those... No. The thing is that like that's kind of like your kill streak.
Okay.
Like you don't
get
to go into the next dogfight as Boba Fett.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you earn points, earn points, and in much the same way like in Call of Duty, if you earn a certain amount of points, then you can call in an
airstrike or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
If you earn a certain amount of points, you can unlock things like Yoda's ship, Slave One, Luke's X-wing. Kylo Ren's TIE fighter, Darth Vader's TIE fighter, and the Millennium Falcon.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really, really good.
So the next question is one that I don't even know if it's worth asking because of all the controversy around this game. Is it worth buying?
Well, there are a lot of good games out there right now.
Well, no, okay, so well, the reason I ask this...
Let me put it this way, okay? I find the card slot thing annoying.
Yeah.
And this is not the first game to have a card slot thing in it.
Yeah.
I mean, Titanfall 2 had a card slot thing in it. But the thing was, you got these cards, you used them in a match, and then they were gone.
Oh, that was, you know, that wasn't the first one, yeah.
Yeah, there was no onus on you to earn loads and loads and loads of cards and keep them in a little collection.
Yeah.
You know, which there is in this game. And you can also craft cards. You get crafting parts.
And then you can upgrade those cards.
Is this...
No, because what happens is you have to buy loot crates for those. Loot crates come through and you'll get like a card for something, or you may get the unlock on a certain character, or you'll get credits, or you'll get crafting parts, right? And the loot crates, I mean, like I think it's like 4,200 in-game currency for a soldier crate and 2-4 for a starfighter crate and 2-4 for a hero crate or something like that. And you get loot crates by completing the campaign, and also earns you money, and playing the game. So you earn in-game credits.
Yeah.
The problem is if you're crap, it's going to take you a lot of time to earn the credits in order to buy things.
I've heard that it's bad even if you're good at the game.
Well, I wouldn't know. I'm not as good as some people. Like I said, Starfighter, I feel like I'm on an even playing field. But yeah. And the thing is that the loot crates, they are the problem is that you'll buy a loot crate and you have no idea what you're getting.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I really like playing with Boba Fett. Well, here's a card for Luke Skywalker that you haven't even unlocked yet. Well, that's a fat load of use for me, isn't it? A card for the specialist class. I hate specialist class. I never play specialist class. Oh, here's a card. And it's like, it's a crapshoot. So you don't know what you're getting. And that's annoying. It's basically like pulling a slot machine.
When I played the beta, I only played one class. It was like, I would love to try the other classes, but I have zero cards for them. And it was also irritating because it's not just getting the cards. After you get a card, you can then upgrade your card. So there's like two or three layers on top of this card system.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, just to put this into perspective for you, those cards do make a damn bit of difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because
obviously.
My first game, I didn't have any cards, and I was a chew toy for the rest of the people on the opposing side because you had guys in there who had cards that, like, their special abilities cool down faster. They can heal faster than you. The spread damage from their grenades is bigger than yours. And it's like all those little things
add up
and make a difference. And it's like at this particular point, with the microtransactions temporarily out of the game, you could say, well, it's a grind if you're prepared to do it. But once those microtransactions, what that real world money comes back in, you are essentially paying to win.
Yeah.
You are paying to win in a game sold at full price. Which, let's face facts here, publishers have every right to do that, and microtransactions are a good thing, and everyone's just overreacting about this, and you should skip the Star Wars film. Just play the game, because that's the word from Wall Street. Because they know all about it.
Yes, they know all about it. Anyway, so that's so impressions of Star Wars Battlefront
2. I will have a review up either at the end of today or tomorrow.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So look out for that. Clinton.
Yes.
Have you been playing Star Wars?
No, I won't be. I definitely won't be.
What have you been up to this week?
Last week, I watched Justice League.
Yes.
They had like an early access thing people could pay to get in and saw 2 days early. So let's answer some questions off the bat. Was it a train wreck? No. Where does it sit in the high regard of other DC movies? I personally think it's the best one they've made in terms of the like expanded universe now.
Yeah.
Even though I know a lot of people who love Wonder Woman would just like, they'll kill me.
Yes, for saying that, yeah.
No,
but she is in this film, though.
I won't kill you. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
No, but I know some people are like, they really like that Wonder Woman movie. Was it groundbreaking? Was it Avengers? No. It was... I got halfway through the movie and I kind of had this realization. You know, I'm not having a bad time. This is fun. I don't feel like the movie's talking down to me, which I have felt in other ones. I don't feel like it's aggressively stupid like I have felt in the other ones. It was just, hey, Batman's on the screen. Hey, Wonder Woman's on the screen. Superman's not on the screen, no, because he died in the other movie.
Okay, can we just actually put that to bed? He's on IMDb. He's in the damn film. We all know he's in the film. Everyone knows he's in the film.
If I remember correctly, I think his name is credited first in the beginning of the movie.
Are you serious?
And that made me really angry. The movie starts with a cell phone recording of him that some kids take.
Yeah.
And then they put his name first in the credits. I was like, you are just insulting me now.
Really? Really?
But he was always going to be in the film. He was on Wikipedia.
No, he's dead, Nick. He died.
Even when Alfred says in the trailer, let's hope you're not too late, you know, that wasn't a sign that Superman was going to be in this movie.
You can't kill Superman in the comics, and you can't kill him in the films.
But, okay, sorry, to detract for a moment.
From Superman, yes.
Why did they go with that timeline for Batman versus Superman? Why did they go with the death of Superman?
Why are you asking me?
I don't know. It just seems so stupid.
Are you asking me if I can think of any reason?
Yes, for any reason.
I don't know. I think maybe for young kids, they'll be like, Superman's really dead. And then they'll watch this and they'll be like, Superman's alive. It's the best to ever. It's the only reason I can think of.
It's just kind of like the kids, it's aimed at the sort of kids who think that wrestling's real.
Fair enough, but I just thought it was the stupidest thing to do is go down that route. And then you have a whole franchise of movies. Obviously, we know Superman's going to come back.
Yeah.
Because A, we've all read the comics, and B, like, how can you have the Justice League without Superman?
Yeah.
That's getting technical. But anyway, so, like, how does that work, though? How does that whole, like, is Superman coming? When is he going to arrive? Do you spend the whole movie kind of sitting there waiting for him?
I'll just throw one last thing in there. The idea of DC trying to take their, basically, the Marvel model going forward without Superman in the DC universe, just close up the shop and go home. Like, really?
If they did that,
it's like killing off Captain America or Iron Man.
That might happen in Infinity.
Yeah, and I might grow horns and fly.
Wait. They've made a lot of money off of those two characters, and they have basically said someone's going to die. I think they may kill one of them. I think they have the stones to do it, to kill one of them. But we'll see. That's a crackpot theory. Anyway, back to Justice League, right?
Yeah.
Very rushed. I think it's only 2 hours. I don't know why they made it so short. I have a feeling that they got to the cutting time to edit, and they cut out a lot of unnecessary stuff, which I'm very for.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, did you watch the extended edition of Batman vs. Superman?
Yes, I did.
What was it like?
So long.
They added scenes for no reason. They gave backstory to a character who dies anyway, so you don't care even more. So I'm actually glad that they rushed it a little bit and they cut out stuff, even though this is an ensemble movie and no one gets enough screen time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, here's the Flash. He has 2 seconds of his backstory, and he runs fast. That's all you need to know. And they do the same for Cyborg. He was a football player. Now he's a cyborg. That's all you need to know. They just rush through everything.
Aquaman.
Yeah. Halfway through, you know a big fight's going to happen. And then they do like, they just build up to the fight. And then the fight happens. The movie's over. It's very by the book. There's no surprises. But it's like, I don't know. It's like eating popcorn.
Yeah.
It's like eating some decent popcorn. You know what's going to happen. Then you get to the end of the bucket. And like, I just had some popcorn.
That was good.
Nick, you saw it.
Yes.
How much do you agree / disagree with me?
I think it's perfectly serviceable.
Yeah.
And when I say serviceable, I mean adequate. I mean, I didn't think it was horrible. But then again, I'm one of these people who, going into a Zack Snyder film, has very low expectations. Like, apart from Dawn of the Dead, and Man of Steel, I've never really had much time for anything the man's ever done in his life.
Mm.
Okay, maybe The Guardians, the one, the film with the owls, that was quite cool. But no, I'm serious. It was a really good cartoon. So for me, you know, Zack Snyder, I mean, and like, here's the thing, like, I didn't find Man of Steel as offensively bad as everybody else did, and I didn't find Dawn of Justice as stupid as everybody else did, because I wasn't really expecting a hell of a lot. I think it had its moments. I think that this was better than Dawn of Justice, but you know, it's Zack Snyder, isn't it? Slow mo.
There was so much slow mo. I actually got a bit angry at the amount of slow mo. There was slow mo in the first 5 minutes.
Zack Snyder is to slow mo as J.J. Abrams is to lens flare.
Do you know what they use slow mo for in one scene?
If it's somebody dishing up food, I'm going to be really
apples
angry.
Falling over.
Are you serious?
Yes. Some skinheads are harassing a nice lady who's managing a fruit store, and they knock over some apples, and that's in slow mo.
That's really poetic. I
wonder how long the movie would be if they took out all the slow-mo.
Probably an hour and a half.
Yeah, half an hour.
But that's the thing, is that like, the other thing also about it, though, I thought, like, I mean, there's some great set pieces. Like, for example, when Steppenwolf, not the guy who sang Born to
Be Wild.
Can't
believe that's the villain they went with.
Steppenwolf has that assault on Hippolyta's island.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Themyscira.
That was pretty cool.
I do like the idea.
I think putting Steppenwolf in as the villain was a bit weird, because it's like, does anybody outside of hardcore comic book fans know even who?
Well, did anybody know who Ultron was outside of the hardcore comic book fans?
Yeah, but that was, I don't think Age of Ultron's a good movie.
No, not saying that, but I mean, it's like, at some point you kind of got to go away from the Joker. Sure.
Well, but then again, like, I mean, that's the one thing about the DC Universe. They have completely effed up two of the biggest villains. I mean, the Joker is essentially, I mean, I think, Honest Trailers put it the best when they said it's Jared Leto playing Jim Carrey playing Blink 182. You know, basically, that's what he's doing. He's the worst Joker. He is the worst Joker ever, all right? And Lex Luthor is just a series of clicks and beeps. I mean, that's all he is.
You know? I don't understand.
I mean, did anybody
coats are coming. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Did anybody know who Doomsday was, even?
I think people know Doomsday.
Well, I mean, he did kill Superman in the comic books.
Yeah, in the comic books.
I don't know. But anyway, the point is that, like,
he's the most non-villain.
The two villains who are supposed to loom the largest over the DC universe
are just stupid.
Are cretins. I mean, they are. They're like unengaging rubbish.
No, I agree with you completely. Like, I have purposefully avoided Suicide Squad because
good choice.
Because Joker is one of my favorite characters, because he is that weird tinge of criminal insanity, and I like everything that I saw of Jared Leto performing that. I was like, that's not it. That's good. Not what I'm looking for. Hashtag not my Joker.
Yeah.
And
he was terrible. He was the worst thing in Suicide Squad.
See, that gives me no hope. And I really wanted to watch that film, but after hearing all the reviews about Jared Leto's Joker, I just won't.
I'm pretty sure we could cut your version without him. The film would be better. So
maybe what I'll do is I'll do that.
And I'm sorry, you know, Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor is terrible.
He's so bad.
He's terrible.
It was I kind of enjoyed him, like, playing that
it's
role.
Like getting John Goodman to play Loki.
But I would never want to go and watch a second film with him in it.
They want to stay away from future DC movies then.
Yes.
Why is he going
I'm not
going to
spoil anything, but he was like, they allude to him coming back at the end of Batman vs. Superman, right. And you know he's coming back.
Also, it was interesting to see an actor who's played the character that landed up in the film has also played the character in a DC television series. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Who?
You see, now you have to see the film. Or you could just probably wait a few months and go
No,
YouTube.
I thought you were talking about Jesse Eisenberg. About someone else. I think
somebody
I know
in the series.
About.
Someone from one of the DC-based series.
Is it Supergirl?
No. It ends up in the post-credit sequence of the Justice League, playing exactly the same character as he plays on television. Which is interesting because they didn't tap up the guy who's playing the Flash to play the Flash in the film.
But there's a good reason for that, though. That whole timeline is so messed up at the moment.
So you're basically saying it was such a bad show that they can't
No. I'm talking about like the character that played the Flash in the TV series. Like, it wouldn't have made sense.
The only thing I know about the TV series is that stop screwing with the timeline, Barry.
Yes.
Because there's so many memes about that.
They are. It's confusing. Like, after season two... Yeah, after season two, they start messing with timelines and the Ultraverse, or whatever they call it. And it starts to get so confusing. Like, season three is kind of like, okay, I can sort of... Okay, no, I'm lost. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Speaking of, the actor did... The Flash in Justice League. I thought it was really good. Ezra Miller. He's playing a really weird version of Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Like, he's a bit younger. He hasn't become a forensic detective yet or whatever he is in this one. And he's really weird, like a loner. And I think Ezra Miller did a really good job.
Yeah, but what I also liked about that is that they explained that to a degree.
Yeah.
Because the thing about... And I'm not saying that this was stolen, but it reminded me very, very much... of a particular issue of X Factor I read, where Quicksilver tries to explain why he is the way he is. Basically, the Flash in the movie is he can't connect with people because they're too slow for him.
There was a song
too slow.
There was a song made for that. It was done by the band Jim's Big Ego, which I only know because of Jim Sterling. They did a song called "The Flash" that explains that.
Yeah,
like, so it's a bit sad.
Basically, he's too neurotic. His mind moves too quickly. He moves too quickly. They can't keep up with him. He doesn't have any friends for that reason. And that was a an explanation that was given to why Quicksilver in the comic book in X-Factor was such an arrogant, antisocial sod, because he's explaining it to a psychiatrist and he said, look, have you ever been stood behind someone at a bank ATM and they don't know which way to put their card in, or they've forgotten their code and they're fumbling around in their bag and you're standing behind them? You start to get really, really angry.
Yeah, you have passed your allotted time, person. Yeah, leave.
It's not a charitable attitude to have, but there it is. Now imagine you're in a world where everyone is that person at that bank teller who's moving that
story. Yeah, there would be lots of back of head punches if I lived in that world.
Anyway, not bad.
Anyway, is it worth a watch? Worth going to see in cinema?
So whenever we talk about comic book movies, there's always like three groups. The super fans, obviously going to see it. You don't have to talk about them. Casual fans, you only see a movie now and again. Should you go see it, especially if you've been burned by the other DCUs? Yes, I don't think this one will burn you, and I don't think you'll think it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
The third people are my parents, who know what Batman and Superman are,
but don't care.
I still don't think this is going to be the superhero movie that they
will
enjoy.
It's a B-. Yeah. It's a solid B-.
Okay.
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Well, there you go. I mean, I did the opposite. I did the Marvel option that Friday. I watched The Punisher instead.
Oh.
I watched the first
There is something episodes. Better on Netflix than The Punisher.
I'm sure there is.
What is it?
It's Brandon? Called Zimbo's Just Desserts, and what? I watched an entire season on Saturday
What
afternoon.
Even is this?
It is literally about. Just a cooking show about people making desserts, but it is so binge-worthy.
Is it a reality?
Yeah, it's like a reality, like MasterChef.
Chopped. I love watching Chopped. It's the best.
It's like the things people do with food. It's just mind-boggling.
So that got me a little irritated, because remember those few years where the cake boss was the biggest thing ever? That just got silly.
Yeah.
It's like we made a car, or like this, I don't know if they actually did this, we made like a Mustang cake. But all you really did was made a frame that kind of looks like a Mustang out of metal, and then you laid cake in, fondant?
Yeah, fondant.
I don't know how to pronounce that.
Fondue.
And no, not that. And you just put it over some metal bars and you called that a cake.
No, this is a lot more intricate. Like, they have challenges where it's like you have to make an anti-gravity dessert. So you have to try and make it look magnets. Like it's floating or something.
Do they use magnets?
The main guy does use magnets.
Okay.
But there's like really cool challenges, and the stuff that people do with food is just... Like, especially as somebody who just eats for sustenance.
Why? They should have a Soylent episode.
it's really, really good. But how's Punisher?
It's not as broody as I thought it was going to be.
Did you finish it, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay, so please don't spoil the
I won't. I mean, and the thing is that, like, it's quite subtle. I mean, if you know anything about the Punisher's universe, or if you've ever read the comic books or whatever, you'll go, oh... That character's signposted. That's pretty cool there.
Mm.
But essentially, like I said, without going into spoiler territory, it essentially is the Punisher meeting up with he basically finds out there's more to his family's death than he first imagined. And that sets him off. And the reason it sets him off is because the guy who tells him this is a bloke who goes by the name Micro. who's basically a computer hacker,
yeah,
who hasn't seen his family in a year because the people who want him dead think he's dead, and he wants to get back to his family. And the only way of doing that is to wipe out this crew of Black Ops people who are gunning for his head. And he has no illusions that he can't do it, so he basically tells the Punisher, these people were responsible for your mm. wife and kid getting gunned down, and he basically reactivates the Punisher.
So is the, does this pick up pre-Daredevil or post?
So okay. I actually wanted to ask you about that. I didn't so watch anything. Nothing happened.
Nobody's phone rang.
I didn't watch Daredevil. I didn't watch any of the other Marvel TV shows. But I still picked up what was happening at the start of The Punisher. I mean, you just basically skipped his backstory. Mm. He was an army guy, and then the army killed his family. And that's the end of it. Did I miss anything really important in that?
No.
Okay. Yeah, because I felt like I didn't. John, how do you pronounce your surname? Bernthal?
Berthnell.
He's really good.
Yeah. Although I still think that Frank Grillo would have been better for The Punisher.
Frank who?
Frank Grillo.
I don't know.
Did you ever see The Purge: Anarchy?
No. Why would I?
Because it's a load of fun. It really is. Okay, you remember Captain America: Winter Soldier?
Yes.
Do you remember the guy at S.H.I.E.L.D. who becomes Crossbones?
Yes.
That's him. Frank Grillo.
Oh, okay. He's pretty cool. Yeah, I like him.
He was also the lead in a TV series about MMA fighters on Venice Beach called Kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's going to do us for this week.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening, everybody. EA Battlefront 2, the jury is still out. Justice League,
I'm so
watch it if you love superhero movies.
Yeah.
I guess.
I would also say that don't do what I did last night, which is I went home, played Battlefront for review for 3 or 4 hours in the multiplayer until 10 o'clock. I decided to read a book to fall asleep. I was reading The President's Keepers and kept me up until 1 in the morning.
So don't do that.
8 or 9 hours, please.
So, from myself, Brendan Lutz, cheerio from Nick Cowan.
Bye.
And from Clinton Massa.
Bye.
We'll see you all next week.
Have a good week.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.